Sunday, March 7th, 2021. I welcome you. In our scriptures this week, we find in Matthew 14, 22 through 36, and 2 Timothy 1 through 14. Starting Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36, Jesus walks on water. Well, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Our second reading in 2 Timothy 1:1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we are moving forward this third Sunday of Lent, our focus is on fear. And it seemed appropriate that our reading today should be from 2 Timothy, where Paul encourages Timothy on how to deal with fear. In verse 7, we read, "For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, or as it's written in the King James Version, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remember, in the story of creation found in the book of Genesis, we read where Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, something which they had been specifically denied them. Knowing that God is searching for them, they attempted to hide. It is a scene perhaps reminiscent of many of our childhoods when we had done something that we were not supposed to, and we literally hid from our searching parents. Well, God finds him, and we know that he will. For after all, where can we go to hide from God? God asks them why they are hiding. And do you remember the response that Adam gave? Because I was afraid. Genesis 3:10. I think that account reminds us that fear is so basic to who we are as human, it goes all the way back to the beginning of time. To be human is to experience fear. In our gospel reading in Matthew, Simon Peter and his fellow disciples are out in the boat crossing the Lake of Galilee after a long day with the crowds. Earlier that day, they saw Jesus take bread and fish and feed 15,000 people. But it's now between 3 and 6 a.m., tired from fighting the waves all night, when they see what appears to be a ghost walking on the water straight for them. And in verse 26, it tells us that they were terrified and cried out in fear. They let their imaginations run away with them. Not until Jesus identifies himself does their fear subside. And the next thing we read is about how Peter deals with his fear. He gets out of the boat into the storm, trying to imitate his master walking on the water, trying to overcome his fear and be an example to his fellow disciples. He's successful for a moment, but the situation gets the best of him. Fear rises and his body sinks. Well, over and over again, the message of the Bible is clear. Fear not. Fear not. Over 365 times it is mentioned in the scriptures, more than any other human emotion. Did you realize that? So if you have your fears, you're not alone. Trust me, it's part of the human condition. Paul, writing to the young disciple Timothy, said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Once we have grasped this most basic understanding, then we can go about dealing with our fear. Our world today is dealing with this pandemic, is living in a fear of contracting or infecting others with COVID-19. Well, this past week, the FDA has approved the third vaccine, and we're told the best defense against the virus is a vaccine. In my limited knowledge of how the vaccine works, I'm told that it's not a cure, but it gives our bodies the ability to lessen its effects. So Paul in our reading today is writing to Timothy, who is also struggling with the emotion of fear. As Paul puts it, the spirit of timidity, the spirit of fear. He reminds Timothy and us that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have been given the vaccine for fear. And all we need to do to lessen its effect is to take it. Fear infects us all, and many times when we least expect it. Well, a couple of years ago, during a sports clinic at Princeton High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, Dan Woodruff, the softball coach, he lent his office to Dave Renning, the strength coach for the Cleveland Browns. And Dave, he wanted to shower before his scheduled appearance at the clinic. So Dan showed Dave the facilities, then left while he was in the shower. Well, when Dave finished showering, he went to leave the office, but found he couldn't open the door. He wrote a note, and he slipped it under the door, then sat back, and he waited. Well, when Dan went back to his office about an hour later, he heard somebody yelling, "Help! Help!" Well, then he found the card outside his door. He opened the door and found writing, "What's the problem?" Dan asked, and Dave told him that he had been locked inside for over an hour. Dan told him The door wasn't locked, that he had only to push a button on the handle to make it open. We laugh about it a lot when we walk down the hall, said Dan. The 230-pound strength coach of a professional football team being trapped behind an unlocked door. Well, I know many Christians today are trapped behind an unlocked door. The door is the door of timidity, the door of fear. Beyond that door lies a world of opportunity. There's a no lock on the door except in their own mind. But there might as well be 100 padlocks because they lack the will, the courage, the inner strength to push the button, turn the handle, and open the door and step into a fearless world of love and service to God. I mean, have you ever been driving and discovered that you forgot to release an emergency brake and you wondered why you felt something holding you back, but you didn't know what it was? That is what the spirit of timidity or fear will do to us. We live our lives with the emergency brake on, never risking, never letting go, and never living life to the fullest. So today, I want to say to you, in a loving and a yet a direct way, you are a sinner. And that's a surprise, isn't it? I bet you've never been had anyone tell you that timidity, that fear is a sin. And I don't mean to be rough with you this morning, but I want to help all of us who are cowering behind the unlocked door to see that we are cheating ourselves, we are cheating our neighbors, and ultimately, we are cheating God. So listen again to the words of Paul, writing to the young Pastor Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Please listen to me this morning. Your fears are a spiritual problem. They are keeping you from being the kind of effective witness for Christ that he needs you to be. You need to leave here today a new person. And is that possible? Well, yes, it's possible. Paul gives the formula right here. You see, he is concerned that young Timothy be bold and confident, forthright preacher of the word. He knew that in the ministry, you can't afford to cower behind any unlocked door. So he's giving him, Timothy, some important advice, advice that many of us need as well. So let's consider the advice for a few moments. Paul says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Well, let's consider these in a reverse order. So the first vaccine for fear is a sound mind. That is, there are some real fears in life, but the fears that cripple most of are those that exist only in our imaginations, like the disciples in our gospel reading. I like the story about a mountaineer who had gone from the home for over a week. And when he came back home, his clothes were torn. His shoes were worn thin, and it was obvious that he was exhausted. His wife put her hands on her hips and said with suspicion, "Where in tarnation have you been?" "Well, I went out in the woods to check the still," replied the mountain man, "and a giant bear stepped out in front of me. I took off running ahead of him and finally lost him. I never ran so fast in my life." "But that was a week ago," she said, the wife, "and where have you been since?" "Well, I've been walking back," he said. If you happen on a bear when you leave church this morning, you might be justifiably afraid. However, if you are afraid of the person next to you, if you are hesitant to reach out with a smile and say, "It's good to see you this morning. How have you been doing?" then something's wrong. Yet there are people who would rather face a hungry bear than to talk to their neighbors. It doesn't make sense, and yet fear has an ability to cause people to run, to sit and wait behind an unlocked door. God has given us the vaccine, the spirit of a sound mind. Sometimes our greatest need is to face up to our fears, to deal with them rationally, with a determination that they will no longer be our masters. Like Peter did that night on the lake in the storm, you haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Analyze your fears. See them for what they really are. Usually, they're in imaginary locks on the door of an opportunity. The second vaccine for fear is a spirit of love. So when we are intimidated by a spirit of timidity or fear, it causes us to break the 11th commandment. What is the 11th commandment? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. In John 13:34. Fear, when it manifests itself as timidity, is the most selfish emotion of all. As Christians, you and I cannot afford the luxury of giving into the spirit of fear, because Christ has called us to love one another. And how can you love someone else if you are scared to even speak to them? Now, admittedly, people are not always lovable. In a Peanuts cartoon, sometimes back, Lucy speaks to Snoopy. There are times, she says, when you really bug me. But I must admit, there's also times when I feel like giving you a great big hug. Oh, Snoopy looks up with a grin on his face and says to himself, that's the way I am, huggable and buggable. That's the way all of us are. Sometimes we're huggable and sometimes we're buggable. But we dare not allow our fear to prevent us from making the effort of love. In 1 John 4:18, John writes, perfect love casts out fear. So once, after giving a sermon on love, a person confronted me with this question: what do I do when I show love to someone and they don't respond? Well, my answer was, increase the dosage. Wouldn't it be tragic to go to your grave with a heart full of regret over people you could have reached out to and didn't? For some of us, the only thing that is keeping the door locked is our fear. We know that it is God's will for us to share our love with others, but we are afraid. The vaccine, of course, is to increase the dosage. Keep loving until you reduce that door to splinters. Perfect love casts out fear. It really does. And we have been given a spirit of a sound mind and a spirit of love. And the third vaccine that Paul gives us for the spirit of fear is a spirit of power. So one scholar has translated power to mean confident faith. Isn't that what spiritual power really is? A confident faith in God. David was but a shepherd boy, but he could face the giant Goliath because of his confident faith in God. Esther was a shy, teenaged beauty queen, but she could approach the mighty king Ahasuerus because of her confident faith in God. When you and I give into fear of or timidity, we are, in effect, denying our faith in God. Pardon me if I seem somewhat harsh at this point, but God needs mighty men and women for the facing of this hour. And he will give us the power to overcome the spirit of fear if we will allow him. If we don't run and hide, if we don't wait behind an unlocked door and give in to the temptations of the spirit of fear. Remember what the scripture tells us: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He provided the vaccine, the spirit of power, a confident faith. Have you ever watched lightning strike a tree? Well, I hope you've never been that close, but they tell us, though, that it's an illusion that lightning comes down from the sky to strike a tree. Actually, only a tiny leader bolt comes from the sky. And when you see that massive flash of lightning strikes a tree, you actually are seeing a tremendous charge of electricity come up from the ground through the tree. That is what lights up the sky. The charge was already present in the tree. The leader bolts just simply freed it up. That is what can happen when we put ourselves in God's hands. We have tremendous power, tremendous energy, tremendous potential within us. Placing our faith in God, receiving His peace and joy, His love, simply sets us free to what He created us to be. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. And maybe we should be like that poor sailor in a shipwreck who was thrown upon a rock. He held on to that rock for all he was worth until the tide went down. And later a friend asked him, "Didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging on to that rock?" And the sailor answered with a sigh of relief, "Yes, but the rock didn't." When Peter stepped forward in faith as he climbed out of the boat, with a confident faith, his eyes were on Jesus. And the minute he took his eyes off the Lord, he was afraid. He was infected with the spirit of fear. But in crying out, "Lord, save me," he took that vaccine of the spirit of power. And we too have the same spirit of power. Believe me when I tell you, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were vaccinated for the spirit of fear. And when fear infects you, you don't let your imagination affect your decisions. You have the spirit of a sound mind. And when fear reveals itself as a rejection of love, increase the dosage. You've been vaccinated with a spirit of love. And finally, when fear challenges your faith, remember you have the spirit of power within your grasp. Cry out as Peter did, "Lord, save me." Pray. Use the power of a confident faith, and Jesus will reach out and catch you, as he did for Peter. Life could offer us so much more, and even more importantly, we could offer life so much more if we could push open this door that is locked only in our minds. The vaccine for fear has already been given. It's within us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Keep moving forward. In his service, this has been Pastor John.